Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the year 282 BC, Pyrrhus, the king of the region of Epirus in Greece, was invited by the people from the area of the town of Tarentum, which is in the heel area of the Italian peninsula. They invited him to come over and help them defend themselves against the Romans. That part of Italy was often called Magna Graecia, Great Greece, because of the number of Greek settlers and colonists in the area. Pyrrhus was considered one of the greatest military generals of his day, but he wasn't doing too well at home. And so he saw the invitation as an opportunity to set out across the Adriatic and maybe carve out a new kingdom for himself in Italy. And so he set sail with a seasoned army of 25,000 soldiers and a corps of elephants. In Italy, he engaged an army of 20,000 Roman troops. He defeated them. In fact, he was so successful that he was able to advance to within 50 miles of the city of Rome itself. He won a number of other battles while in Italy, but he suffered such severe losses of his own troops, almost as much as the losses he inflicted upon the enemy, that he won the battles, but it said he lost the war. He won by such a small margin that his victories were almost the same as defeats. Eventually, he was forced to go back to Greece, where he died in the year 272. He has been called one of the greatest generals, one of the greatest of all unsuccessful generals in history. He has given his name to the expression we still often read, a Pyrrhic victory. A Pyrrhic victory means winning by such a small margin that victory isn't much different from defeat. I thought of this little bit of Greek history when I read the gospel lesson for today, especially Jesus' words to the teacher of the law in verse 34, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The teacher of the law had asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus answered by reciting the Shema of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, which is the basic Jewish confession of faith, and which I understand begins all synagogue services to this day. The teacher of the law obviously complimented Jesus, thought he had got it right on, he'd gotten it all correct. And then the teacher of the law basically repeats Jesus' words. And then Jesus responds by complimenting him, by saying, "You have answered wisely." A teacher of the law must have felt very good. I think every student would love to hear those words when a test is given back in one of the classes, and the professor would say, "You have answered wisely." However, Jesus then continues with a disturbing qualification. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The man had answered wisely, but not wisely enough. He was right on the law, but he failed to recognize Jesus as the one who had been sent to fulfill it perfectly for us. He did not recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah, who would go to the cross and suffer and die as Isaiah had prophesied. The man gave a good law answer, but there was no gospel. And so his, really, we might say, was a kind of Pyrrhic victory. He had won the battle, but he had lost the war. A Pyrrhic victory in spiritual matters is still a real danger for us in our time. And this text is a warning, I think, to all Christians. But the context is that of a one-on-one conversation between Jesus and this teacher of the law or religious teacher. So I think it is especially applicable to pastors, would-be pastors, and all professionals in the church. There is a real danger to assume that if we get a little right, we have gotten it all right. Or if we fulfill one aspect of the ministry well, we have fulfilled it all well. I had the privilege of growing up under a very faithful, doctrinally sound, and loving pastor. He baptized me, he confirmed me, and God didn't call him home until I was, I think, the fourth year here in the seminary. To the degree that I knew other LCMS pastors in the area, I categorized them in the same way: faithful, loving men of God. Then I went off as a high school freshman to one of our synodical prep schools to study for the ministry. And I was surprised, very surprised, one day in class when one of the professors said that not all pastors would go to heaven, or not all pastors would be saved. That was a real shocker to me in my youthful naivete. I couldn't comprehend how anyone could be a pastor and not believe what Scripture taught. Later on, I understood it. A person can be in the ministry for the entirely wrong reasons. He can be motivated by less than the proper principles and objectives. And today, I think this is even a bigger problem than it has been in the past, because pastors today are under so many pressures to become supposedly successful, to proclaim acceptable beliefs, approaches, and pressures on the pastors to succeed. There are many pressures that we face. Pressures to keep up with modern trends in ministry, sometimes whether or not they are biblical and confessional. There are pressures to be successful, which often is understood in the terms of business-like, bottom-line figures for membership, financial statistics, and maybe even the value of the church's real estate. Every day I come to the seminary, I drive by a large Protestant church, and stretched out across the lawn by the road for everybody to see is a large banner that says, "We have contemporary services." That may be fine and good, but I wonder if the style of worship isn't more important than the context. Why not advertise, "We have Christ-centered worship services," or "We have worship services of real theological content"? But if it's contemporary, somehow it is all right. We are under pressure also to be politically correct in our theology, to make sure that we are inclusive of everyone, not to be judgmental of anyone else's belief, and not to insist upon any one standard of absolute truth. And these aren't just pressures that come upon us and to us from secular society, but sometimes they even come to us from within the church. Because of the changing landscape of American Christianity, we are under real pressure to be popular and sometimes even to be entertaining. That has become more popular sometimes than applying law and gospel to the spiritual needs of the people. Even sometimes if that application stings a little bit for a while, but it may be necessary. Popular Christianity today has a lot of spiritual dressing, but often very little theological content. If that is the kind of trap that we find ourselves falling into, we may hear Jesus say to us, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But wouldn't it be much better to hear him say, "You are part of the kingdom of God because you trusted in Christ, because you sought to serve him and his people in all true love and humility"? Christ doesn't call us to success. He calls us to faithfulness. His word, his power, the power of the Holy Spirit grants the success as God wills it. We have a wonderful message of salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus to proclaim. Pray God that in our ministry we won't have a Pyrrhic victory. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.